welcome to the latest Glenn and Helen podcast. Today our guest is Virginia Postrell, blogger, former editor of Reason Magazine, author of The Future and Its Enemies and The Substance of Style, columnist for the New York Times and the Atlantic Monthly, and most recently, kidney donor.
Virginia will talk about kidney donations, societal prejudices, and what policy changes might encourage more organ donations.
We've got Virginia Postrell on the phone, and she's really one of those people that needs no introduction, but she's authored The Substance of Style and The Future and Its Enemies, writes for the New York Times, blogs, of course, at dynamist.com, and most newsworthy lately, she donated a kidney to Sally Satel, who a lot of people listening to this podcast probably know as well, author of PCMD and other books. Can you tell us how that happened, Virginia?
Well, actually, Sally and I have been friends for about, I don't know, 6 or 7 years, but we don't see each other that often because she lives in Washington and I live in Dallas. So it actually happened that I ran into her good friend and co-author, Christina Hoff Summers, with whom she wrote One Nation Under Therapy, which I know Helen recommends.
Yeah, great book.
Yes. I ran into Christina at the 5th anniversary celebration of the Foundation for Individual Rights and Education, which we're both involved in. And so we're chit-chatting and the usual sort of pleasantries. And at one point I said, oh, so how's Sally? And she said, well, she's all right, you know, in this way that made it sound like she definitely wasn't all right. And then it turned out that although she was doing okay on a day-to-day basis, she needed a kidney transplant. And this was back in late October of last year. And so I immediately thought, well, gee, you know, that's something that I could do. I knew Sally had no immediate family. Her parents are dead. She has no siblings. She's never been married. She has no kids, you know. The obvious suspects that people go to when they need a kidney transplant. And I thought, well, you know, unlike a lot of people, I don't have kids who are that I would feel responsible for. There's no history of kidney disease in my rather large family. So if I should need a kidney later on, I do have resources. And so I came back from the fire celebration, and I talked with my husband, and I did a little research. And a couple days later, I said to Sally, you know, if you need a donor, I'll be a donor.
And you found the risks are actually fairly low in donating a kidney.
They're very low, actually. The risks are very low, especially nowadays. A lot of people may remember some years ago, think of it as a fairly traumatic surgery. Nowadays, they use laparoscopic surgery for the vast majority of live donations, which means that they do most of the work without cutting you open. And the largest incision I have is about 2 inches, and that's where they actually took the kidney out. So that makes the surgery less traumatic, and it also makes the healing process much faster.
Did it hurt?
Well, did it hurt? Well, I was, you know, in some ways it's the ideal good deed to do because, you know, you just show up at the hospital, they knock you out, and when you wake up, it's over. I had some pain, and I still have a little bit of pain, but I did not need narcotic painkillers even when I was in the hospital. And once I left the hospital, which was just about 3 days later, I haven't taken anything stronger than aspirin. So, yeah, I mean, it hurts a little, but I have migraines, and they hurt a lot more.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it seems like a really brave thing to do. When I heard about it, I told Glenn, I said, gosh, I don't know if I'd be brave enough to donate a kidney. I mean, I would hope that I would, and I certainly would for a family member, and I hope that I would for a friend. But I wonder, you know, how most people feel. What was the response to you donating a kidney from, say, friends and family?
All right. Well, it's very interesting because, of course, now that it's all done, I've gotten nothing but wonderful feedback. Oh, you know, sort of like you, what a great thing. But before, there was a period where I had to go through tests, and it wasn't clear that I was going to do it. And
did you have to have a mental exam?
I had to meet with a social worker.
Okay.
But I passed with flying colors.
Okay.
The first kinds of tests, they do a lot of tests to make sure that your kidneys are properly functioning, so that if you only have one, it won't cause a problem for you. And then they do a lot of tests to make sure you don't have any kinds of diseases like hepatitis C or HIV or all these various things that might be transmitted to the recipient. And then ultimately you have to have a CT scan so they make sure you actually have two kidneys and figure out where they are, and the surgeon uses that to plan the surgery. But what I was going to say is along the way, essentially it's much easier not to give a kidney than to give one. And even if you're determined to do it, everybody tries to change your mind, basically. Even my doctor, when I went in just to get some blood and urine tests, the first thing she said is, you know, you can change your mind.
Why is that? Do you think it's because they're really worried about people being pressured into it, or what's the reason for that?
Well, I think it's different reasons for different people. I think in the case of my doctor and the case of most medical professionals, that is, in fact, what they're worried about. Because less with friends, but more within families, sometimes people do feel sort of coerced into doing it. They really would rather not, but they feel like they can't say no. So medical professionals will often probe that. The response from friends and family was a much more visceral response, and I use that as a pun, and it's deliberate, but it's just people can't imagine. People who would have no trouble imagining, for example, having cosmetic surgery, which is also elective and has, you know, similar risks depending on which kind you're having, anesthesia risks and such, find it very repellent, the idea of taking an organ out of your body.
I guess they feel like with cosmetic surgery, you're adding something.
Yeah,
you know?
something like that. And I just don't have whatever gene makes you think that that's repellent. I mean, to me, I was concerned about the risks of surgery with general anesthesia. That was where I had to be, as you said, brave. And that's where my husband had to be even braver. But the risks of the actual particular kind of surgery, of donating the kidney and of living without a kidney for the rest of your life, are really, really minimal. And I was not worried about those at all. That didn't bother me in the least.
But not many people donate kidneys. I mean, what stops people other than what you've already said? Maybe is it fear, or are there some kind of like rules or procedures that limit people from donating organs?
Well, yes and yes. Most people who donate kidneys to family members. If you wanted to donate a kidney to a family member and weren't able to, the most likely reason would be that you were the wrong blood type, because that's the compatibility these days. That's the only compatibility you need. You need to have the right blood type. And in fact, when I originally told Sally that I would donate a kidney to her, I thought that it was likely that my blood type was type O, which is the universal donor, because that's my mother's blood type. But I never actually had my blood typed. Turned out I was type A, which fortunately was also Sally's type. So in a family, that would be the most likely. Then there are rules about you need not to have these various diseases that might carry over, like hepatitis C is actually a fairly common block. I mean, most people, if they have HIV, they know it, and they're not going to volunteer to be a kidney donor, but there are those sorts of things. And then there are things like high blood pressure, or if you're obese, there are certain kinds of risk factors for the donor that generally they discourage, they would be more likely to discourage. But the real, that's sort of like once you decide you want to be a donor, what might discourage you. The other thing is there's a lot of structural barriers to people even deciding. The most obvious of which is that there's no compensation. I mean, if you donate blood, you can either donate it for free or you can get paid. If you donate sperm or eggs, you can get paid, you know, but for a kidney, it's illegal for them to pay you. So there are some people who might do it, and they can pay your expenses, but, you know, you don't have to pay for your hospitalization. But that's one barrier. That's the most obvious taboo thing. But then there are also just all these psychological barriers where people act like, you know, you've got two heads if you think that you would like to donate a kidney to somebody who's not, you know, your closest relative or your best friend. And I think those two things are related, actually, that in fact, if we thought of this as the kind of serious but life-saving and not terribly risky surgery that it in fact is, we would be more relaxed about compensation. We would be more relaxed about encouraging people to become live donors. And then there's also the whole thing about why don't people, okay, well, that's all why you might not donate a kidney when you're alive. But what about after you're dead? Why don't more people donate kidneys, you know, when they die? And I think that, I mean, I have to say myself, I never signed an organ donation card. I always figured, well, if I die, you know, I'll leave that up to my husband. And I think a lot of people have that attitude. A lot of people don't want to think about dying, so they don't want to fill out an organ donor card for the same reason that they don't want to make a will. They just want to kick that can down the road and not think of it. So, you know, if there were more cadaver kidneys donated, live kidney donation is better. It's better for the recipient. But about half of the transplants that are done with cadaver kidneys now.
Well, I know your husband, Steve, had some suggestions on how they ought to change the law to make kidney donation easier and more encouraged.
Right, more encouraged, yeah. One of his... one of the ideas, the reason people always say it's so terrible if you would pay people is that, you know, the poor will be exploited and will be selling their kidneys. So Steve said, well, instead of that, let's have a tax holiday. If you donate a kidney, you don't pay any federal income taxes for that year. It's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. You know, you can only donate once, so it's not some scam that people are going to use year after year. And the result of it would be a huge transfer of kidneys from rich, healthy people to poor, sick people, because a lot of the people who, in fact, either have kidney disease in general or just don't have the family resources for donations are lower-income people. So the idea is, you know, you're a Wall Street trader and you had, like, a really extraordinarily good year. Well, gee, this might be the year for you to donate a kidney.
I like it. It'll make the meeting with the CPA a lot different.
Right, right. And my response to that was, well, do you still have to file, or could it be just a complete...
that would really, you know, that would encourage people more than the money. I think if all they do is file the one-page form that says, I donated a kidney this year, go away.
Yeah. One thing I did before I donated the kidney, and I guess this shows I had a little bit of a morbid streak, was I did do my taxes, because my taxes, because I'm self-employed, are quite complicated. So I did my taxes early. So that my husband wouldn't have to worry about them should anything happen to me.
Wow, that was nice. So what did people write about before you gave the kidney or talk about on the blog? I know, Glenn, you said that some people were wondering why a libertarian would give a...
Yeah, I was sort of surprised to see a few people commenting out there that, you know, as a conservative or a libertarian, and I guess to some people those are the same thing, that they just couldn't believe you would, like, do something so selfless as donate a kidney.
Right. Well, I think that, and as you know, Amity Schles from the from Bloomberg, who is herself a libertarian, wrote a column sort of along those themes. I think there are two things going on there. One is that people sort of have this idea that, I don't know, of atomistic individualism, as if people who, you know, have sort of individualistic politics or libertarian politics have no social networks, have no friends, have no family, and you know, that's certainly not the case. And as a general rule, I'm sure you could find individuals that would be applicable to, but you could find them anywhere on the political spectrum.
I think when you have friends you're willing to donate a kidney to, you've got a pretty good social network going.
Yeah, and then the other thing is that people do, they do refer to this as selfless. And then, so all the people whose libertarianism then comes out of Ayn Rand's thinking think, well, you know, how could you do something selfless? Well, first of all, I'm not an objectivist, but my libertarian thinking comes more out of the Scottish Enlightenment, Hume and Smith, and they're all about sympathy and identification with other people. But the other thing is, even from a very, Randian point of view, I do not view this as a selfless act. I view it as a practical way of helping my friend at some cost to myself. But, people, I got a lot of benefits out of it, too, from being able to really do something life-changing for somebody that I cared about. And there are not very many opportunities that come along in life where you have a chance to do this much good directly for somebody that you care about at what is really a relatively low cost.
What did Sally say when you told her you were going to donate a kidney?
Well, at first she did say, you can change your mind too. but I actually told her early on because she had written about her search for a kidney. She wrote an article in the New York Times, and at the time that I originally told her, she thought that she was going to have a donor from an internet site, matchingdonors.com, that she had used. That fell through, and I was just the backup. But I did tell her early on that I would not back out, that, there might be medical reasons why I couldn't go through with it, because you do have to have all these tests. But she had had several friends for various reasons, most of which I would say she understood, but who started down the road and then backed out. And it's very difficult to be in her position, hoping for a transplant and getting your hopes up and then having them dashed. So I told her, if anybody's going to dash your hopes, it's going to be the doctor saying that I have the wrong type or something.
Well, how is she doing now? How did she do after the transplant?
Well, it was much harder for her than it was for me. I mean, it's a much more traumatic surgery for the recipient in general. And, of course, the recipient is sick, whereas the donor is healthy to begin with. Also, in Sally's particular case, an hour or two after the surgery, she started hemorrhaging, and she could have died. They had to take her back into surgery and open her up again and tie off whatever. So she had a pretty rough, I'd say about a week there after the surgery. Then she went home a week after the surgery. And when last I emailed with her, which was, I guess, yesterday, she said that she was feeling much better, and she had even done some vacuuming, which is something I can't say for myself. But that says more about our housekeeping proclivities than our health. But she's doing much better. She's getting to the point where she doesn't have a lot of pain, and she's recovering. And the kidney from day one worked great.
Cool. Too bad you don't have more of those to supply. It seems like you had a quality product there.
Yeah, right.
Well, this actually seems to raise a couple of interesting things. There's, of course, exploding the whole libertarian selfishness canard. But really, the other thing that I think is sort of interesting is this is somebody with whom you've got a close, friendly relationship, but it sounds like it's mostly electronic. It's mostly email and phone. You don't actually meet that much.
Yeah, that's true. Sally is one of those people who uses email like some people use instant messaging.
I'm one of those.
We really do have largely an electronic relationship because, we do live quite far apart, and I don't actually get to Washington that often. I may in the future get there more often because I just started working for the Atlantic, which is based there, but I would see Sally, once or twice a year. Yeah.
That's really interesting. I mean, we often hear and in fact observe that those kind of connections, which I think people used to think were going to really atomize people and weren't very realistic, can actually be pretty close. And I guess this is living proof of that.
I guess, yeah. Although it did take something of a coincidence for me to actually find out she was sick, because in our email she didn't bother to mention, I have kidney disease and I need a kidney transplant. I had to hear that from a mutual friend.
So there's still a role for face-to-face communication, too.
Yeah, there's still something to be said for that, yeah.
Well, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank
do you have
you.
Any advice for would-be kidney donors or recipients out there before we finish?
Well, for donors, I would just say that it is, a really wonderful thing to do. It's not that bad. And when they tell you to practice your breathing exercises when you get out of the surgery, you should really do that, because and then this I would say to anybody who's had surgery, that shortness of breath is one of the often untold effects of anesthesia. So, you know, do those breathing exercises.
Well, that's good to know. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that was interesting. I'm glad to hear that Virginia and Sally are doing well.
Me too. I just hope I never need a kidney.
Well, if you do, I'll donate one.
Oh, great.
We hope you enjoyed this donated podcast. We'll be back with another one whenever we feel like it. In the meantime, you can check our blogs, instapundit.com or drhelen.blogspot.com for updates. Or you can subscribe via iTunes. We like that. Until later, have fun on the internet.
Talk to you next time.